Thin fingers of lightning spread out across the heavy underside of the great clouds which hung from the sky like a sagging stomach. A small crack of fretful thunder nagged at it, and dragged from it a few mean drops of greasy drizzle. Beneath the sky ranged a vast assortment of wild turrets, gnarled spires and pinnacles, which prodded at it, goaded and inflamed it, till it seemed it would burst and drown them in a flood of festering horrors. High in the flickering darkness, silent figures stood guard behind long shields. Dragons crouched gaping at the foul sky, as Odin, father of the gods of Asgard, approached the great iron portals which led to his domain and on into the vaulted halls of Valhalla. The air was full of the noiseless howls of great winged dogs, welcoming their master to the seat of his rule. Lightning surged among the towers and turrets. The great, ancient, and immortal god of Asgard was returning to the current site of his domain in a manner which would have surprised even him centuries ago in the years of the prime of his life, for even the immortal gods have their primes, when their powers are rampant, and they both nourish and hold sway over the world of men, the world whose needs give them birth. He was returning in a large, unmarked, grey Mercedes van. The van drew to a halt in a secluded area. The cab door opened, and there climbed down from it a dull, slow-faced man in an unmarked grey uniform. He was a man who was charged with the work he did in life because he was not one to ask questions, not so much on account of any natural quality of discretion as because he could simply never think of any questions to ask. Moving with a slow, rolling gait, like a paddle being pulled through porridge, he made his way to the rear of the van and opened the rear doors, an elaborate procedure involving the coordinated manipulation of many sliders and levers. At length the door swung open, and if Kate had been present, she might for a moment have been jolted by the thought that perhaps the van was carrying Albanian electricity after all. A haze of light greeted Hillo. The man's name was Hillo. But nothing about this struck him as odd. A haze of light was simply what he expected to see whenever he opened this door. The first time ever he opened it, he had simply thought to himself, "Oh, a haze of light. Oh, well." And more or less left it at that, on the strength of which he had guaranteed himself regular employment for as long as he cared to live. The haze of light subsided and coalesced into the shape of an old, old man in a trolley bed, attended by a short little figure, whom Hillo would probably have thought was the most evil-looking person he had ever seen, if he had had a mind to recall the other people he had seen in his life, and run through them all one by one, making the comparison. That, however, was harder than Hillo wished to work. His only concern at present was to assist the small figure with the decanting of the old man's bed to ground level. This was fluently achieved. The legs and wheels of the bed were a miracle of smoothly operating stainless steel technology. They unlocked, rolled, swiveled, in elaborately interlocked movements, which made the negotiation of steps or bumps all part of the same fluid, gliding motion. To the right of this area lay a large antechamber, panelled in finely carved wood, with great marble torch holders standing proudly from the walls. This in turn led into the great vaulted hall itself. To the left, however, lay the entrance to the majestic inner chambers, where Odin would go to prepare himself for the encounters of the night. He hated all this. Hounded from his bed, he muttered to himself, though in truth he was bringing his bed with him. Made to listen once again to all kinds of self-indulgent claptrap from his bone-headed, thunderous son, who would not accept, could not accept, simply did not have the intelligence to accept, the new realities of life. If he would not accept them, then he must be extinguished. And tonight, Asgard would see the extinction of an immortal god. It was all, thought Odin fractiously, too much for someone at his time of life, which was extremely advanced, but not in any particular direction. He wanted merely to stay in his hospital, which he loved. The arrangement which had brought him to that place was of the sweetest kind, and though it was not without its cost, it was a cost that simply had to be borne, and that was all there was to it. There were new realities, and he had learned to embrace them. Those who did not would simply have to suffer the consequences. Nothing came of nothing, even for a god. After tonight, he could return to his life in the Woods Head Hospital indefinitely, and that would be good. He said as much to Hillo. "Clean white sheets," he said to Hillo, who merely nodded, blankly. "Linen sheets, every day, clean sheets." Hillo maneuvered the bed around and up a step. "Being a god, Hillo," continued Odin. "Being a god, well, it was unclean, you hear what I'm saying? There was no one who took care of the sheets. I mean, really took care of them. Would you think that, in a situation like mine, father of the gods? There was no one, absolutely no one, who came in and said, "Mr. Odwin," he chuckled to himself, "they call me Mr. Odwin there, you know. They don't quite know who they're dealing with. I don't think they could handle it, do you, Hillo?" But there was no one in all that time who came in and said, "Mr. Odwin, I have changed your bed and you have clean sheets." No one. There was constant talk about hewing things and ravaging things and splitting things asunder. Lots of big talk of things being mighty and of things being riven and of things being enthralled to other things, but very little attention given, as I now realize, to the laundry. Let me give you an example. His reminiscences were for a moment interrupted, however, by the arrival of his vehicle at a great doorway, which was guarded by a great sweaty splodge of a being, who stood swaying, arms akimbo, in their path. Torag, who had been preserving an intense silence as he stalked along just ahead of the bed, hurried forward and had a quick word with the sweating creature, who had to bend red-faced to hear him. Then, instantly, the sweaty creature shrank back with glistening obsequiousness into its yellow lair, and the sacred trolley rolled forward into the great halls, chambers, and corridors, from which great gusty echoes roared and fetid odours blew. "Let me give you an example, Hillo," continued Odin. "Take this place, for example. Take Valhalla.